Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
The subject before us at the moment is that of Christian liberty, a concept that is widely misunderstood in our day, at least in my experience and observation and interactions with others. It is a concept that is taught several places in the New Testament. We find it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which is why we're studying it now, because we have come to this in our verse-by-verse consecutive exposition through the book of 1 Corinthians. And it will be brought up again later in the same epistle, and you can also find a very thorough treatment of it in the epistle of Paul to the Romans in chapter 14. And so it is important enough that it gets quite a bit of space in the New Testament scriptures, because it is something that people seem to have difficulty getting hold of and understanding correctly. In our day, you find many people who think that Christian liberty means I can do whatever I decide is correct. I'm the one who decides, it's all up to me. And if you say that what I've decided is okay, is not okay, then you are a legalist. That's the term that is generally used. You are a legalist, and that term legalist can mean so many different things. We have to understand what the person who is making the charge means by it. But if that person means by it, you are calling me back to the law of God as given to us in the New Covenant Scriptures, then that's not being a legalist. It's not a legalist to say, thus saith the Lord. It's not a legalist to say, this is what the Scripture says is right and what is wrong. That's not being legalistic, that's being biblical. But there are a lot of people who think that biblical Christian living, defined by the Scriptures, is legalism and goes against their understanding, their misunderstanding of the doctrine of Christian liberty. So that's why it's so important for us to give attention to this subject. And so to that end, we will continue our study in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 on this Thursday, September 9. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for helping us with the cost. It all begins in verse 12 with the statement, "All things are lawful for me," which I take to mean, and I think most commentators take to mean, that Paul is quoting a slogan by libertarians, and a libertarian is one who casts off the law of God. All things are lawful for me. There are no rules. There are no commandments. There are no regulations. That's all Old Testament stuff, but we don't have any of that in the New Testament. And so this statement, all things are lawful for me, to many people means a declaration of unrestricted freedom. I can do whatever I decide is right. It's all up to me to decide. And that, of course, means that there is no such thing as a command of God in the New Testament. There is no such thing, therefore, as sin in a New Testament understanding, that whatever I decide is right, is right. And if I decide it's right, if it doesn't violate my conscience, if I decide it's right, then it's okay before God. That's what many people mean by Christian liberty. Well, we come to the libertarian's correction. I guess I should read the rest of verse 12 and verse 13 simply by way of review. And then we come to the libertarian's correction of verses 14 and following. But let me continue reading verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but, Paul says, that may be your slogan, that may be what you are claiming, but all things are not helpful. Oh, no. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. A couple of restrictions upon this idea of Christian liberty. And then in verse 13, another common slogan of that day, foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods. But, he goes on to say, God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for food. God made us to need food. God made us to enjoy food. Is that true? Yes. So that means I can eat anything I want to eat. Well, if that may be true, if it corresponds with Scripture. We've talked about that previously. I'm not going to go back to that now, but it is not applicable to the area of sexual morality, which is how people are using it, because they say, make that first statement, which is self-evidently true. God did make us to need food. God did make us to enjoy food. And in the New Testament Scriptures, we are told that all foods are allowed for us now, unlike under the Old Covenant. So, because God made us to need food and God made us to enjoy food, then God expects us to eat. Okay, so far so good. But now, apply that to sex. God made us to be able to function sexually. God made us so that we enjoy functioning sexually. Therefore, the conclusion is that God wants us to express our sexuality in whatever way we choose. That's the idea that the libertarians in Paul's day had. That's the idea that a lot of people in our day have. But that's not right. And Paul says very clearly, now the body is not for sexual immorality. In spite of the fact that God created the sexual beings with a desire for and an enjoyment of sexual activity. But the body is not for sexual immorality. It's not for sexual activity outside of marriage. But the body is for the Lord and the Lord for the body. All right, now the libertarian's correction. And there are seven statements in verses 14 through 20 that correct libertarian theology. And the first one in verse 14 is the body has eternal significance. Verse 14, and God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us by his power. We'll look more carefully at what that means in a moment, but think about that. So many truths in the Bible go back to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is such an important doctrine. And he brings it up here. God has raised up the Lord and will also raise us by his power. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that God raised Christ's body for eternal purpose. He had eternal purposes in mind in raising his son from the dead. And God will raise Christians' bodies for eternal purposes as well. Therefore, the body cannot be considered insignificant. Now, that takes into account some of the Greek philosophy that had influenced Corinthian thinking in that day. And it was the idea that the physical part of man is not important. In fact, it was the Gnostic idea, and in Paul's day, Gnosticism was not full-blown, but it was already there in its early forms. And the Gnostic idea was that material things are necessarily evil. Only the spirit is pure. There's no such thing as pure body, pure material things, and also the body is temporary, and frankly, what the body does or doesn't do really doesn't matter. It's only the spirit that matters. Well, what is Paul saying to correct this wrong idea? Because that idea, of course, leads to the idea, I can do anything I want to with my body. I've got liberty to involve myself in sexual immorality because the body is the body, and it's expected to be sinful, and it's only temporary anyway. It's going to die and decay and be gone someday, and it's only my spirit that matters. But Paul reminds them and us that the body has not temporary significance, but eternal significance, and that is critically important. And God hath raised up the Lord, and will also raise us by his power. The body is not temporary. The body will not decay and be gone forever. The body is going to be raised to eternal life. The body is going to be raised in final redemption. When the Lord returns, he is going to raise the dead, believing dead, bodies out of the grave, and they will have glorified bodies that will be united at that time with their already glorified spirits. And spirit and body are going to enter into eternity forever. The body, far from being temporary and therefore of no significance, is instead eternal and of enormous significance. So let's correct that false notion right out of the beginning, right at the beginning of this whole discussion. So number one, the body has eternal significance. What's the second statement? Number two, the body belongs to Christ. Do you not know, verse 15, that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not! Exclamation point. The body has eternal significance, and the body belongs to Christ. He redeemed it. And Christians' bodies are members of Christ, and that which belongs to the Christ, which belongs to Christ, must not be used in immorality. You see, Jesus was raised from the dead as the first fruits, the first example of what's going to happen to all who are joined to Christ by faith. We are members of his body. This body of Christ, made up of all born-again believers, of which Christ is the head, and if the head has been raised from the dead, then necessarily all the members of the body are going to be raised from the dead as well, and it's all Christ's body, it all belongs to him, and that which belongs to Christ must not be used for immorality. The very idea that you could take part of this body of Christ, one body, we're all members of that same body, one body of which he is the head, and we're going to take a member, a part of Christ's body, and join it to a prostitute and defend that and say that that's perfectly legitimate, there's nothing wrong with that. How can you ever come up with an idea like that? Dear friends, not only does the body have eternal significance, but the body belongs to Christ. Never forget it. And if you keep that in mind, that will help you in some of your ideas relating to Christian liberty. And we'll have to go on from there, Lord willing, tomorrow. We invite you to join us then. Until then, Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.